Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and take control of our lives. Take us deeper into the love of Jesus. Take us higher up in the school of wisdom. And take us farther on in our walk with God. Amen. A man stood by a wishing well. He threw in a coin and made a wish. I want to spend the rest of my life in the arms of a rich woman. And like that, the man's wish came true. He was changed into a little poodle. Be careful what you wish for. Well, Lent is a season when we're encouraged to look within and think about what we really wish for. What are we really wanting in life? What do we need, which might be different from what we want? What do we hunger and thirst for? And how do we seek to satisfy those longings? And more than that, about receiving, what during Lent are we invited by God to give? These are thirsty times. We can find that life can be a dry, barren desert like the people of God found themselves in. Times when it's hard going and the path beneath your feet is stony, with hidden dangers and difficulties. Days when it feels like the heat of the sun, the heat of pressure burns down on you. When suffering and pain afflict. Where, as you look around, there is little in the earth or on the earth to nourish you. And the joys of life, like the birds of springtime, have flown far from you. Yes, life can be a dry desert. And perhaps you're in that today. Is there something in your life where you are dry, where you're looking, where you're longing? Well, friends, God has good news for you today in your struggle. God has a gift for you today and for the whole church and for any who will come to receive his word and his promise. In the story of God's people Israel from Numbers chapter 21 verses 16 to 18, we are transported to the desert where we find God's people struggling. They are stuck somewhere between the slavery of Egypt, which is far behind them, and the promised land, which is way off in the distance, out of sight. And there is among the people dissatisfaction, disillusionment, discomfort, and even death, with no wishing well in sight. No wishing well, but as they journey and camp, and journey and camp led by that pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, they are yet being led, and led to a well and to a promise. And eventually, the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people and I will give them water. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. That's the first of three things that I'm bringing out of the Word of God this morning. It's a signal from God. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. The people of Israel at this time numbered tens and hundreds of thousands in their tribes. And Moses is told to gather the people together. God was saying to them, I have water to give you. And it's not just for a few, but it is for all the people. And here is a lesson that we can apply to the church and community today. Our thirst and longing in life may be deeply personal and unique to us, but it is yet a communal longing. We long together, not alone. We have a shared and common thirst. And God is saying to the church today, gather the thirsty people. Gather the thirsty people. I think God's been saying that throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, throughout the story of the church. Gather the thirsty people together. Whether it's here on the desert plains with Moses or with Jesus at the wedding in Cana when the wine had given out. Whether it was out on the hills of Galilee with the hungry people and the 5,000 were fed. Or whether it was the crowds on the streets of Jerusalem at the first Pentecost. Or crowds that gathered to listen to John Wesley. Or the revival moments of yesteryear and the revival moments of today. Thinking of recently Asbury in Kentucky in the United States, where hundreds of students gathered together and stayed praying and the Spirit came. Wherever it seems God's thirsty people gather, good things happen when we look to the one who can satisfy us. The message is the same. Gather the people together. When we obey God's signal, then we are in the place where abundance and an outpouring can follow. So in this age of isolation and extreme individualism, let us acknowledge our common thirst, our thirst for fellowship, to meet together in this secular 21st century desert. Let us continue to meet together and pray together, believing that God has something good to give. God signals to the church today, gather the people together and I will give them water, the water of life. But how? How did that happen in the desert? We move on to Numbers 21, verse 17, which says, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well. Sing to it. Spring up, O well, sing to it. And Israel sang. And that's remarkable because Israel had not had anything to sing about. There's no record of song since Miriam burst into song at the parting of the Red Sea, and that was over a year ago. Now, led by God, now provided for. They have a song in their hearts because hope is now bubbling up like the spring. Because now they know they're not going to perish, but live, and God is going to quench their thirst. So no wonder they could sing to the well. No wonder they were transformed. Yes, they were still in the desert, but there they found what they truly needed. And they sang with renewed trust and hope in God and what God has for them. God was true to his word. He did just as he said he would. He gave them water. And here is an important lesson for us. When we're still in the desert, when things are still difficult, keep hoping. Keep hoping. Keep trusting in God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Never give up. Don't ever shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well. Look to God and say, oh, well. The well that he has. Well of God, I come to you. I come to you with a song. Spring up, oh well, and sing to it. When you are thirsty, and that might be today, when you are in that silent desert place, when life leaves you speechless, sing to the spring. Sing to the spring. And if you only take 4 words out of my sermon, take that home with you into the week ahead. Sing to the spring, friends. Sing to God's praise. Because when we do that, things change. We are changed. The heavy yoke is lifted when we sing and shout to the Lord, when we praise him, when we come to the wellspring, to the very source of God's goodness and grace and refreshment and renewal. God is faithful. When we sing, the songs, the hymns, the psalms that we sing today, whether they are old or new, words and melodies written by women and men of faith who have often, like us, walked in barren deserts of loss and pain and even death. Dusty deserts. But with sure hope, they were inspired with a song in their hearts to write it down, to pass it on. And we pick up their words and melodies today. We sing to the spring. We might say that they have dug the well for us. Sing to it. And as we sing, we meet with God and God meets with us. He bridges the distance. He comes to us and he offers us water to drink, living water to drink. And greater than a spring in the desert, the water we drink is nothing less than the fountain of life, Jesus Christ. Which brings me to my third and final point. We've heard about the signal of God. Gather the people, and I will give them something to drink. We've had the song, come to the spring. And we've had now a word about the supply. Jesus is the well of living water. We heard in John 7, 37 to 39, on the last and greatest day of the festival where there was much carrying of water to and from the temple, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water shall flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. We look to Jesus. And in Lent, as we make our two-week now journey to Easter, we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, where a new well was dug on the hill of Calvary, and our sins and fears were washed away. As we sing, on the mount of crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. And wasn't it on the cross where Jesus cried out, "I thirst, I thirst"? He understands your thirst. But now Jesus is glorified, and now the Holy Spirit has been given. We're an even better place. And Jesus lives in the heart of every believer by the Holy Spirit. So that spring that we saw, that fountain is much closer than you think. It is within your heart and mine. Jesus is the fountain of every blessing, and streams of living water rise up and flow within, Jesus says. Always freely available, his living water flows full and free, a constant supply. And we are changed when we drink from that spring, because it is a new way of living and giving. This water is no Dead Sea with no outlet. It's not stagnant. Jesus says it shall flow within them. So it always goes out from the believer to bless and nourish and sanctify others. It overflows. So this week, wherever you are, where God places you this week, in work, at home, wherever, let the rivers of water flow through you to others. Jesus invites you today, come to me. Come to me and drink. Come to me and live. Come drink that your cup may overflow where you've been dry. May it overflow with joy and gladness. Come drink and let your thirst be quenched. May God seal his word in your heart today. Let us obey the signal as church. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Let us find the song. Sing to the spring. And let us come to the supply. Jesus, the well of living water. Amen. Let us pray. In the quietness, let us reflect on the word of God to us. Let us acknowledge those dry places which he knows about, and welcome him into those places. Let him lead you to the spring and drink deep of God. Let us worship. Let us receive.